Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This Sunday, Lena Eddy will be filling in for me and bringing the message. Her sermon is titled, Come Celebrate Together. Today is World Communion Sunday, so we will be gathering around the Lord's table for communion. It is always a special time for the church family to remember our Lord's death for our sins. All are invited to gather around the Lord's table this morning. Betty and I are in Illinois for her annual family reunion today. We've attended almost every Edson reunion for the last 35 years. It is always a special time to catch up with family we only see once a year. Hebrews 11 tells us that we will have a great reunion one day with all of God's faithful saints around His throne. I look forward to that day with great expectation. Our goal till then is to remain a faithful servant in God's kingdom. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you this week, and thank you for listening.
Stand for our call to worship this morning. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Our first hymn this morning is Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Children's choir, led by Connie Bestian and accompanied by Ellen Ash, sings New Lord. Our scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon on mission, intentional faith development.
Our first lesson today comes from Psalms 119, verses 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep the law and obey it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path thy commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to these testimonies and not gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities and give me life in the ways. Confirm thy servant thy promise, which for these who fear thee. Turn away the reproach which I dread, for thy ordinances are good. Behold, I long for the precept of the righteousness. Give me life. Here ends our first lesson. Our second lesson comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. And I, from my childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which you are able to instruct for your salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Here ends our scripture lessons.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, Carla. What a wonderful day to gather and trying to get all my stuff situated here. We continue our look at being on mission, trying to make sure that we're doing the things to be a fruitful, vibrant, living congregation and growing. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about radical hospitality, inviting people, making people feel welcome when they come within our walls, and then outside the walls, making sure that we're engaging with people, letting them know that we want them to be part of our service and part of our family here, and doing whatever it takes to bring people in and just to have a relationship with them. That's radical hospitality. Then last week we talked about passionate worship, that when we come into worship, that it's just not one day a week, that our whole life is to be worship, a passionate worship where we just say thank you, God, and that people see that and they feel that and they want to be part of that, and that our whole lives are to be worship throughout the day and at night when we go to bed and when we get up in the morning, that we give God glory for the things that he allows us to do and gives us the strength to persevere through. This morning we're going to be talking about intentional faith development, that a church that is vibrant and growing focuses on continuing developing our faith from our youngest ages until our older ones. I brought with me a special book. My mom would recognize it. It's a book that has all the information about me from kindergarten through my senior year of high school. But you've got your grades in here and you got your class schedule. You know, early on in kindergarten, you're learning your letters, you're learning your numbers, you're putting words together. I knew as we progressed, there was things that they would add to our schedule because you learned how to read, so they made your math a little bit more complicated. You had your reading and the history classes that you had to take. When we graduated eighth grade, I'm sure the same way with you all here, you had to take the Constitution test. I don't know if you remember having to do that, Stephen. When you're eighth grade, we had to pass the Constitution test when we were getting through school and all these different things. And then in ninth grade, you start out with Algebra 1, sophomore year, geometry, third year was Algebra 2, fourth year was trig and calculus. They kind of built upon that. If you were to go back, you would not see Algebra 1 on my first grade class schedule, all right? Because I wasn't ready for it. But what you would see here was a systematic, you would see a progressive look at building upon one grade to the other to get you ready that when you graduated high school, that you were prepared. Prepared to go on to another college, go to a tech school, go into the military, go into the workforce. But it was systematic. It was planned out. It was intentional every year to make sure that you were getting prepared the right way to go out into society. How do we grade and determine that we are being intentional about our faith development? Our confirmation class has started the last two Wednesdays. This past Wednesday, we had a little quiz at the end of class to see if they were learning the subject or have been learning the books of the Bible, the New Testament. They're memorizing those right now. We're learning the different divisions, and so we kind of went through that. Had them go up on the board and write down the different divisions. They're doing really well, making good progress. But I've kind of fiddled with the idea of every couple years putting out a test to the congregation, seeing how we would do in our Bible knowledge and just, are we growing in our faith? And just to give you a little test this morning, I brought a quiz with me. My wife and my brother-in-law cannot answer because I did some of the questions with them. In your bulletin, you have a little area there that you can write notes down about the sermon. I'm going to give you some questions and then I will give you the answers at the end of the sermon. All right, that's called intrigue. All right, that's intrigue to hold you on through the rest of the sermon. But I'm just going to give you some easy ones. My confirmation students, they would know the answers to most of these. What is the first book of the Bible? Don't say it out loud, just write it down. What's the last book of the Bible? What are the four books? What four books tell about Jesus' life on earth? What four books are those? And if you want bonus credit, you would give me the section. What division of the Bible that is. What do they call those four books? How many books are in the Bible? Do we know how many of those are? I'll give you a hint. It's a gas station, all right? Remember whatever gas station, all right? And if you know the books of the Old Testament, how many books are in the Old Testament? How many books are in the New Testament? If you know the number in the Old Testament, take those two numbers times each other and you get the number of books in the New Testament. Which New Testament book has Jesus' Sermon on the Mount? I will give two answers to that one. They only list one, but there's part of it in another gospel. I'll narrow it down to four books for you there. What language is the Old Testament written in? What language is the New Testament written in? All right, let's skip here to a couple others. We have our ones in the Old Testament. How did Moses' mother save him from the Egyptian soldiers? What did she put him in? All right, through what did God speak to Moses in the desert? There was a special place that Moses went and God spoke to him. What did God send to feed the Israelites in the desert? I'll give you a hint, it's two things. All right, he gave them two things. All right, what golden image does the Israelites make at Mount Sinai? All right, and who were the only two Israelites? Who were the two good spies? There was 12, 10 were bad, 2 were good. You remember that song from Sunday school? All right, and then we'll just do one other here. We'll go to the New Testament here. All right, we'll do this one here. How much bread and fish did Jesus use to feed the 5,000 people? How much bread and fish? I always get them confused myself, all right? And then what did Jesus do at the Last Supper for his disciples? Okay, he didn't give them communion. They had the Lord's Supper at that time, but he did something else prior to that. And what is that? We'll have the answers at the end of the service, all right? But we're talking about intentional faith development here. One writer says it this way: to be intentional about our faith development means that we are give a deliberate effort and a purposeful action and the highest priority to our Christian education, formation, Bible study, and Christian witness. You know, my mom and dad just didn't take me to kindergarten there in Madison, Indiana, all those years ago, and just hoped that it would just kind of osmosis sink in. The teachers just didn't kind of sit at their desk and hope that the knowledge would sink in. They had a curriculum. They had a lesson plan to make sure that day all the way through the end of the year, that when I left, I had grasped the concepts and the knowledge that I needed to go on to the next grade. We see here in Scripture that God's plan from the Old Testament to the New Testament has not changed. Carla read Psalm 119, and it gives a definite impression there that it's a lifelong pursuit from our youngest age. She had read 2 Timothy. It talks about how from infancy until now, you've learned the Holy Scriptures, and that we are to continue to grow in our knowledge, and that we are not to be happy with just status quo and just kind of treading water. If you'll turn with me this morning, we'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to see Moses gives the people, he gives us an outline of how we are to be intentional about our faith development. We start in verse 1. He says, "These are the commands, decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life." He says, here it is. You want to know how to be successful? You want to know how to pass on your faith? He says, these are the things that you are to concentrate on. And it's not just for you. It's not just for your children. It's for your grandchildren and all the generations after that. Verse 3, "Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Skip to verse 20. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of these stipulations, these decrees, and these laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell them, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. It's obvious. The number one things that he says there about faith development, intentional faith development, is that it's focused and that it's obvious. He says, put it on your foreheads, put it on your hands. Make it to see where it's obvious for people that are all around you that these are the things that you are focusing on. It's supposed to be part of everyday life. Did you catch that part there? He says, impress it on your children. Talk about it when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Maybe for us today it'd be when we're in the car going to school, picking them up after a ball game when they've gotten back to the school off the bus, or we're traveling to a game far away, or we're going to our parents. They see when you get up and when you go to bed that these are the things that are the focus of your lives. Do your kids and your grandkids see you reading God's Word? Do they see it making a difference in your life? Do they see you making the focus here, making it obvious and intentional? This past week, my daughter got an email from the school where Gannon goes to school, and she shared it with us. And it was special because of one line in there Carrie had written just to tell her how much Gannon's enjoying first grade. Last year was kind of a struggle in kindergarten, just letting the teacher know because she's a first-year teacher. And she wrote back these words, and it made Betty cry, and it made me tear up just a little bit. Because this is my prayer for my grandson and my granddaughter every day, and I pray it for our kids here when we do children's time, and I do children's time out there. I pray and I say, God, protect him and protect Baylor from evil. Protect their hearts, their minds, and their bodies. Help them be lights in the darkness to their classmates and to their teacher. Help them feel God's presence. Help your angels surround them and make them one of your servants one of these days. The email that she got from the teacher said that Gannon is a light in our classroom. And I read that and I said, thank you, God. Do our children and our grandchildren see us and hear us pray for them? It's to be part of everyday life. Be ready to talk to future generations about our faith. We see here, he told them, he says, when your children ask you, what's that question that all children ask us all the time when we tell them to do something? Why? Why do I need to do that? Why? You know, that worked for you guys, but I got better plans than what you all went through. I'm going to do it my way. What does Moses tell them to tell them? Tell them about how God worked in your life. Tell them how God has delivered you from the struggles of your life. He says, he brought us out of Egypt. He did all these great wonders and signs. That's why we follow these things. Be ready to share the same thing with your children and grandchildren. Why do you come to church? Why do you have a faith? Why do you read your Bible? Because I've seen God work in my life amazingly. And I want to be with him not only today, but I want to be with him in eternity. Because when we follow the decrees and we're intentional about our faith development, it has eternal rewards. That's what the writer is saying. He said, if you want things to go well with you not only today, but for future generations, make sure that you are intentional about your faith development with your children. Carla read there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but Paul wrote the Colossians as well. And he tells them this about faith development. He tells them about that we are to put to death the things. I've got the scripture right here. There it is right there. I got too many papers up here. Faith development has not changed. He tells the people there that are new Christians, he says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. He says, be intentional. Put your minds on these things, not on these things. And then he lists these earthly things. And look what he says about our intentional faith development. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And he lists sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming, and you used to walk in these ways. Get rid of anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your earth. Don't lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. But then he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And above all these virtues, put on love. He says, this is what our body wants us to do. These are the things that we've got to put to death. We have this battle inside our minds and our souls all the time, the struggles with the flesh and the struggles with the spirit to control those urges and to control those things that we struggle with. But he tells us to clothe ourselves when we walk out in the public so people see that we are developing, that we're intentional about our faith, that we're putting these old things away, and we're going to walk in these new things. But we've got to be intentional about it. How can we accomplish this? How can we accomplish and be intentional about our faith development? How did Jesus accomplish it? Did he go to Jesus Christ University, JCU? Did he go on campuses? Did he have his own football team or basketball team? He had 12 disciples and their families. And what did he do for 3 years? He spent every waking moment around them. They saw him in every situation. They saw him around a campfire. They saw him on a boat. They saw him on a hillside. They saw him heal. They saw him defend himself against terrible attacks. He saw him touch the most vulnerable. But his in everyday life, it took time and it took priority. How do we do that here practically? We keep building upon what we are already doing. But we need to get more people involved. Our regular attendance is somewhere around 150 to 175 on a given Sunday. I love God Singer Sunday because it always increases because grandpa and grandmas are here and parents are here. It's wonderful. But then I look at our Sunday school attendance and it's about 75 to 95. We need to put ourselves in locations and places to be intentional about our faith development. I know this coming week we have See You at the Pole for our middle school kids. 7:30 on Wednesday, I plan to be there. High school FCA has started. Are our high school kids putting themselves in those places that their faith will continue to develop and get stronger? We have all kinds of opportunities. We have Sunday school, we have worship, we have Wednesday night, starting our marriage class. We have one family that's here today that is coming today because they're going to be in the marriage class on Wednesday. Because we offered the opportunity. We have church camp. We have VBS. We have our small groups. We have our choirs. We have our men's and our women's group on Wednesdays once a month. We have our grief share class. But maybe there's some other classes that we need to start. Maybe there's a class for single parents. What about spouses that have lost their spouse? We've had a lot of that. What about someone going through divorce care or Celebrate Recovery? We did a financial piece a few years ago to put out the opportunities there for our people to grow and put themselves in the way of the Holy Spirit to develop and strengthen our faith. We've had some families start their own small group that meets outside of the church. Is there another age group or group of people that'd like to do something like that? We have Right Now Media that's free of charge that you can get any Bible study you want to help you to invite people over to your home and say that we're going to grow together in our faith. I know we have different groups that meet at coffee shops around the town in the morning. You maybe already do this, but what if somebody brings a devotion with them and pray together? Instead of solving the world's problems as we usually do on those, we can start solving the spiritual problems right here at home. This past week, we had the inmates in town from Tipton. Every morning we met over at the Methodist Church to have breakfast. Man, biscuits and gravy, fried eggs, bacon. We had French toast on Friday. We would go upstairs and have a devotion and sing together before they went out to work. One of the ladies from the Methodist Church, she said, this is my favorite morning of every year, my favorite week of the year. She said, we get to have this time to worship before we go out to work. What about starting something like that once a week? Men's and women's groups meeting together to pray. and to worship together, to get ready for the week, to strengthen and increase our knowledge and our faith. They wrote this about Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. They had been arrested. They were being accused of preaching about Jesus. And the Sanhedrin looked at them and they wrote this. They were unschooled and ordinary men. They were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Just a few months before, what did Peter do when he was confronted about his faith? He denied Jesus three times and ran away. 3 months later, he's standing up and he's convincing others about his faith. Why? Because his faith had grown, because the Holy Spirit was living in his life. Do people know that we've been around Jesus in our daily lives? Are we putting ourselves in the right locations for our faith to grow and to increase our faith? If you're just coming to church on Sunday morning, you're just holding steady. You're just treading water. You're just holding on. You need to find other times, personal and group time, to strengthen that faith. Maybe this week you'll pick an area to work on. Maybe you need to work on your prayer life. This week I'm going to find a time each day to just pray for my children and my grandchildren, or pray for specific people. Maybe you're going to join or start a small group saying, hey, it's time for me to join a Sunday school class or start my own Sunday school class. May I need to find an area to serve at the church here. I'm going to make Sunday worship more of a priority. See, Satan is working overtime to convince us that games, activities, other interests are more important than faith development. Satan is working overtime to take your soul. He'll do whatever means possible. Jesus thinks your soul is so valuable, he died for our souls. That's why we need to be intentional about our faith development. I'm going to close with these words from Luke chapter 14. Jesus was walking along and large crowds were following Jesus. He was a rock star. People wanted to be around him. He turned around and he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. He meant to say, if you love anybody more than me, you can't be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And then he gives two illustrations. He says about someone that's going to build a tower. He said, don't you think you're going to sit down and plan that tower before you build it so you don't not finish it? Or about a king that's going to go against a war, another king? Aren't you going to sit down and make sure you have enough men to be successful? He says, you've got to be intentional about being a disciple for Jesus. And then he closes with these words. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. Churches that are fruitful, churches that are alive and vibrant and doing what God wants them to do, they are intentional about faith development, building upon what we're already doing and making it even more focused. A couple of the answers to your questions of our quiz this morning. How much bread and fish did Jesus use to feed 5,000 people? It's 5 loaves and 2 fish. What did Jesus do at the Last Supper to his disciples? He washed their feet. Very good. What's the first book of the Bible? Genesis. What's the last book? Revelation. What's the 4 books that tell about Jesus' life? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what's, for extra credit, what are they called? The Gospels. How many books are in the Bible? 66. 39 books in the Old Testament. 3 times 9 is 27. That's how many books are in the New Testament. What New Testament book is the Sermon on the Mount in? Matthew. I would take Luke as well. What language? Old Testament, Hebrew. What language? New Testament, Greek. Those are the answer to those questions. But the final questions I have for you are tougher to answer. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you confessed his name? Have you been buried in the watery grave of baptism? The second question is, do you know where you are going to spend eternity? And if so, why? Tougher questions to answer. But we need to be intentional about our faith development this morning and make sure we're progressing. Maybe I'll get with that test. Maybe a couple weeks I'll hand out a test and mail it to you and see what we can do. The most important thing is put ourselves in places where God, Holy Spirit, can develop us and make us into the servants and the disciples that He wants to be.